Okay, I would like to dedicate this to two people. The first will be Matt Sussman. And the second will be Zachariah Nugent. Okay, the truth is I normally Thursday afternoon is my slot. And but I gave up my slot for the president who will be coming with Hashem tomorrow, and I haven't spoken to the yeshiva in a while, and I feel I like to speak to the yeshiva, I like to connect to the yeshiva, and I wanted to share with you a thought or two just that kind of came up a little bit over the course of the day, and share the following. First of all. We have a lot of alumni that have been through the yeshiva, been around, and again, as I mentioned last night at the alumni dinner, there's a common denominator that I hear a lot from the alumni, and one theme that they say a lot is after their stay in yeshiva, a year or two in the yeshiva, they go back to Chutz La'aretz, and no matter where they go, this college, that college, the theme that runs through, that seems to run through, is there's a phenomena of, we'll call it Yerida, but something even more profound than Yerida. And even if they're learning well, and they're hitting their minyanim, but the kind of passion, the feel of feeling it, and being in Eved Hashem where you're feeling it, a common theme that I hear a lot is, it's just not the same as when they were in Eretz Yisrael, when they were in this Beis Medrash, when they were here, if you will, in the heart of everything. And there are a lot of reasons for that. Pressures of college, Chutz La'aretz in general has a lot of distractions, even more distractions than exist here. A lot of different factors, but that is one theme. It's kind of starting to go through the motions and a more passionless type of Avodas Hashem. Moreover, we have here, as I mentioned to my shiur this morning, is the hardest month, I believe, the two hardest months in yeshiva are the month of Elul, which is just a tough month because it's the beginning and it's adjustment and everything else, and the month of Teves. Because the Teves month, you're in the heart of winter, the nights are long, the days are short, there's nothing really, really special going on. We speak about Cheshvan being Mar Cheshvan. Teves is even less going on than Cheshvan because, yeah, you have a couple of holdover days from Hanukkah. You have a tinus, but it's a hard month. You're in the middle of the Zman, and very often what happens to boys in the middle of a Chorev Zman is it Teves, especially the end of Teves, the Hanukkah high is past us, Adar is still a bit of a ways away. You hit this kind of lull of the long, hard days of Teves, and sometimes a burnout type of phenomena sets in. You're not as into it, it's tougher, and you need to kind of fight through this phenomena. So there's a common link between what gets expressed sometimes by alumni and what even Bachram in the Beis Medrash and Yeshiva in the month of Teves sometimes have this type of challenge. Kind of trying to fight through, if you will, the dual days of Chorev. So I want to look at just some ideas that come from the parasha to kind of perhaps help us through as we meet the challenges which we're all going to face. Alumni, and we're all sitting here, future alumni, we're all going to face, and perhaps we even face right now. I want to raise one last question, which is just the question I want to touch on. The sign is Shkoyta Avijay. For the very creative sign, I want to talk a little bit about the frogs a little bit, as you'll see why in a second. But there's a stunning Rashi which I mentioned this morning, which also a bit of a tzarech iyun. Rashi says that based on a difficulty of psukim that we're told vatal hatzardeya, one tzardeya, and then the next pasuk says and there were tzardeim throughout the entire land. So what was it? One giant tzardeya or many, many multitudes of tzardeim? How exactly did you get from that one to the many? And Rashi cites two deos. One day of the striking day of Rabbi Akiva says, as I mentioned this morning, the Mitzri went ahead and smashed that giant frog, And it multiplied. And he smashed again and it multiplied. And it multiplied and it multiplied until you had a plethora of frogs all over Mitzrayim. Strange. Strange. What exactly is the idea that Rabbi Akiva is telling us, is conveying to us, that you had this mystery smashing the frogs, and that's what causes this multiplication? What exactly is the underlying idea, the theme, the lesson that one can derive from that very, very puzzling Maamar Chazal? Avraham Avinu is told, your offspring is going to Mitzrayim for 400 years. It's going to be a long, long galus. Why was that so necessary? Why was galus Mitzrayim so critical for Klal Yisrael to experience? And the Maharal and many other Svarim indicate that the word Mitzrayim, the place of Mitzrayim, the idea of Mitzrayim comes from the word min hametzar, narrowness, limited. Tsar means narrow. The same word tsara, suffering, comes from that same root. Metzar, narrow, confined. Mitzrayim is a place, was a place where the Jews were confined, limited. They were forced in a very, very narrow type of place. And we needed to be persecuted. We needed to be beaten down. And the process of being beaten down, writes the Maharal, was a necessary prerequisite for Klal Yisrael to emerge as a tremendous, tremendous nation with tremendous, tremendous capabilities. They needed to experience, as the Sfarim write, the Kur HaBarzel. They needed to be put into that oven like a Kli Cheres in order to be fired up, to be hardened, to be able to withstand the challenges of the future. There had to be a Yerida Litzorech Aliyah. And many of us, you get older, and I have a special welcome to Raparna Shlita, you get older, you experience a little bit of life, and you realize that the life that the 18-year-old youngster lives. And I mentioned this morning in my pre-share how jealous I am of my students who currently or in the coming years get to be in college. What a wonderful kind of existence. Learning, studying, no real pressure. It's an amazing existence. And it's shocking to me that so many students say like, well, I like this about it, but I really don't like it. I think it's great to be 18, 19. Of partners, what do you think? No, in general, it's a time you can. There's so much out there, and you know the pressures. You get a little older, and you see some very dark things. You see some bad things. Life is not as rosy. There's a much more pressure. It has a lot of great things, of course, but as you experience a little bit, you see pain. You see trials and tribulation. I'll tell you one thing again, I mention every year. This week is the yard site of a very, very close friend of mine. My next door neighbor here in Israel made Aliyah about a year or two after I made Aliyah. And we had very, very parallel lives. He went to a certain yeshiva for his year, I went to that yeshiva. I went to YU, I was first. I went to YU, he went to YU. I moved to Passaic, he moved to Passaic. I made Aliyah, he made Aliyah. I moved to Nachal Tamar, 3. He moved to Nachal Tamar, 1. And we lived very, very parallel lives on some level. Very, very special person. A real Ben Torah. He worked, and he learned, and he had tremendous, tremendous life in him. Tremendous husband, a tremendous father, a real Ben Tov. And one day he was 30 years old, 4 kids. He went to work. And in the middle of the day, out of nowhere, he felt some serious pain. And his colleague, another friend of mine, rushed him in the car and they rushed to the hospital. It would have been faster by car than to call an ambulance. He gets to the hospital. By the time he gets there, he's already passed out. He's in the hospital for about 15, 16 hours. Nothing they could do for him. And he died suddenly. A father of four kids, out of nowhere, my next door neighbor. Yahrzeit coming up, his 11th to 12th Yahrzeit coming up later this week. Out of nowhere, passes away. And I'll never forget his wife, his almana during Shiva. Tragedy. Unbelievable tragedy. And someone asked her. I don't know how they asked her this question, but someone asked her. I'll never forget her answer. Asked her, if you knew that your husband, Michael, you'd only have 7 years with him, and then you would be widowed, would you have gone forward? Would you have married? And she said, are you kidding? 7 years of the most unbelievable happiness, and I would give that up. I'm so thankful I had those 7 years. And my wife and her, this woman, are best friends. And she was in my house all the time. And it was an amazing thing to watch. Obviously so painful. So difficult. As she struggled raising four small children by herself. Obviously having to cope without a husband. Family all in the States. Very, very difficult. But to see how, now 10, 11, 12 years later, but it didn't take even that long, a year, two, three, how she rebuilt her life with emunah, with bitachon, min hametzach, the harshest of tragedies, the darkest of days that you can imagine, the kor habarzel, that kiln, pressuring, firing up, but watching how she emerged so much stronger as a result. And that's what Mitzrayim is. Mitzrayim, pressure, persecution. Certainly nothing we would want, but it's something, a necessary prerequisite for Klal Yisrael to emerge. They go down as a mishpacha, and they come back as Bnei Yisrael. When a person's having tough times, and they will happen, whether it's in the day-to-day, we're not feeling it. We're not feeling passion. We're not into it. We're struggling. It happens. We're in a slump. Or we have real tzaras. Perhaps a family member has a health issue. Perhaps there's financial stress. When a person goes ahead and approaches those given challenges, from a point of emunah, from a point where they really have a connection to something much, much bigger than their local small situation, they can emerge stronger, uplifted on an even higher level. And when you have, again, on our very small plane, challenging times, difficult times, long days, hard days, when you have the ability to muster from deep within inside you the strength, the reserves that you built up when things were good, and you've built up those reserves, you've stored inside of yourself that strength, then when these tough times do indeed happen, you can emerge much, much stronger. Frogs. Sardaim, very strange kind of maka. Definitely the kids' favorite maka. Every year the kids come home from Gan, and they've got these frog songs. Frogs here, frogs there, jumping everywhere. Para in the with pajamas. And, well, I don't know if you know the nigunim. Very strange maka. And it's an amazing thing how Chazal draw lessons, ideas, insights from even very, very seemingly unusual events, but they see great, great insights into these things. And one thing I mentioned this morning to my shir, and one of the cures I think we all need to think about, think very hard of that.
And Rav Lubat,
maybe you can help us here. Help me see. Is for some of us, the regular day in, day out learning, the day in, day out Rashi, Tosis, Gemara, sometimes has the ability to beat us down, to wear us down. It's tough. It's hard. And it's so, so critical that you also have in your learning day, in your day, a vision of the warmth of Torah, of the real warmth that Torah can give. And here, I'm not a chassid at all, but there's
a lot of beautiful Torah
that's very, very warm, that doesn't only speak to the mind, but speaks to the heart, that speaks to the soul. And a person exposes himself to such personalities, to such Torah,
it has the ability to stir the soul and to bring a person to certain connections, which then allows the Gemara, Shas, and Poskim
to have greater vitality and greater meaning. If I were to ask, not counting Lakewood, I don't know what's going on in Lakewood, but what is the most vibrant shul, perhaps in the United States of America today? Certainly in the greater New York area, north of Lakewood, is? What do you think?
Eish Kodesh.
There's a shul in the Five Towns called Eish Kodesh. Anyone diving there?
Yeah. I have a nephew, so not there.
And what do they say? What? He's a different kid. And how's what's the shul like?
I was there, the lights were out, Shal Shudders. And then he's doing the thing.
What's the thing? The thing! It's the thing! What is the thing? It's speaking to the neshama. And again, not to Gemara is critical, but the neshama needs to be spoken to. And sometimes it's the warmth of the Hasidish experience. I'm not advocating us to put on long coats and grow our payas out. That's not the message here. But to tap in not only to the Torah that speaks to the mind, but also to tap in to the Torah that speaks to the soul. And I dabbled a little bit this afternoon in a little bit of Hasidish type. And I want to just share with you a few thoughts. A few thoughts, not my style at all. But again, that perhaps tie into this theme. The first makkah is the makkah of dam. And this is a thought that emanates from Chabad. When it comes to the makkah of dam, the first is dam. And this is a striking contrast. The water turns into blood. And when you think about the theme of dam of blood, what do you think of? What is blood all about? We're told in the Chumash, ki hadam hu hanefesh. Blood is vitality. Blood is passion. Blood is warm. Is life. This is what blood is all about. When we bring a korban, we take the blood and we're makrivit on the mizbeach. Blood is hakrava. It's warm. It's life. It's vitality. Water, on the other hand, is also life. But it's a different quality. It's cold. In its natural state, water is cold. It's necessary, but it doesn't have the same warmth, if you will, of blood. For water to go ahead, we know Torah is nim shalamayim, but for water to really be tahor, water is used in the mikvah, but what kind of water do you need? What kind of water, what do we call that? It's mayim chayim. It's mayim that has to be full of vitality, of life. It can't be static. Mayim she'uvim that's collected as a puddle. Static water becomes putrefied water. That is not the water that can be matayim. And when it comes to learning, Torah is nim shalamayim. But sometimes if the learning is static, is not endowed with the, if you will, the dam, the passion, so then it could be defeatist, it could be very, very damaging.
It could defeat us, it could bring us down. When it's imbued in perhaps the lesson min hametza, when you're stuck in Mitzrayim, your own narrow space, is to convert the water into dam. Is to go ahead and create that Torah that is has vitality, that has meaning, that has warmth. And then you become enveloped in that joy. That's a very, very different kind of experience. And our Yahadus, no matter where we are, we must constantly, constantly think how to make it geschmack. How to make it an experience that is exciting and has vitality. But Moshe Feinstein was always very unfond of the Yiddish expression, schwer zu sein a Yid. It's hard to be a Jew. I'm not saying it isn't hard to be a Jew. It can be hard to be a Jew, but if you view your Judaism as hard, as tough, as a burden, it's going to be static. It's not going to have meaning. It's not going to be vital. When you go ahead and spend your time, and I know, Rav Lubat, you're offering, right? Am I right? Every morning, you want a taste of Hasidus? 5 to 10 minutes before davening? When are you here? When? What time? You start what time? 10 minutes? 7:35 every morning, you can join Sammy Schwartz and Shimi Ammon, who already locked in. A little taste before davening to get the blood flowing, to get the warmth flowing, something that certainly can be done, and should be done. And someone told me the other day, actually this morning, that it's so hard, not one of our boys in Yeshiva, of course, an alumnus, it's so hard for him to wake up in the morning. Wouldn't happen here, chas v'shalom. But, so hard to wake up in the morning. I asked him, what's the problem? He said, sleep is more enjoyable than waking up. He loves sleep. Tough to wake up. What are you telling him? What? Not really living. So, sleep has its pleasures, perhaps. But it's not life. It's not living. As I think I mentioned once to you in the past, I never heard my little twin girls, my 8-year-old, certainly not my 6-year-old, say, Abba, it's 10 minutes past my bedtime. Don't I have to go to sleep now? And I never heard my little girls, when I wake them up in the morning, it's unbelievable. They just jump right out of bed. No problem. They just jump right out of bed. I got twins. And when I go ahead and wake up one twin, you know what happens? The other one, no matter what, sees her sister's up. She doesn't want to let her sister be up and she not be up. She's always up. You know why? Have a seat. If you want. It's the rebellion. That's all right. Never wants to miss that opportunity. Well, the kids like to be awake. Adults, for some reason, teenagers, for some reason, they like to sleep. There's a lot to be learned from the kids because they see life, vitality, to be lived, to be experienced. And a person has to be proactive. It's no coincidence that we sing very loud, Ivdu es Hashem b'simcha. If a person's avodas Hashem is static, is dull, is boring, is not speaking and stirring his soul. And I'm not taking the blame for this. It's not the problem with the educators. We have to find a way to make it stir the soul. We have to say, how can my davening be more passion-filled? How can my learning have more meaning to me? And we have to find that. We have to make it happen. You know, sometimes people go into Shabbos, they walk into shul, and they're so excited, and they read a good Shabbos with great enthusiasm. I heard once, a guy walks into shul, greets his fellow, good Shabbos. And his fellow comes back and says, I don't get it, what are you fired up so much about? It's just Shabbos. It's a big deal. Yeah. Go to Eish Kodesh once, yeah? I've never been. It's just Shabbos, what's the big deal? It's just Shabbos. What's the big deal? We have to approach every tefillah, every Shabbos, every mitzvah, every moment as There's a stunning Gemara Maseches Pesachim Daf Mem Gimel where we're told that Hananiah, Mishael, the Azariah were not sure what to do. They were asked to bow down to an idol, to a statue. What are we doing? They made a Kal V'Chomer from the Tzfardim. The Tzfardim, who are not commanded in any mitzvahs, were told to sacrifice their lives, go into the Tanur, the Hot Tanur, because that was the will of God, and they weren't commanded in any mitzvahs. Yet they sacrificed their lives to fulfill what's Hashem. So Hanan Mishael Azariah said, us, who are commanded in mitzvahs, we certainly have to go ahead and do so. It does require, the frogs tell us, it does require an approach. Where is Hashem in our lives? Is Hashem on the periphery? Something that, yeah, when I'm doing a mitzvah, when I have a Seder, when it's time to daven, so then I'll bring Hashem to the mitzvah that I have. Or is Hashem at the center? How are we looking at the 613 mitzvahs? As the 613 obstacles that I have to somehow navigate in order to be a decent Jew while I live my life and do the things I want to do? And they're the 613 obstacles? Or indeed are they as they're supposed to be? The 613 opportunities that I can connect to Hashem. Where Torah is an opportunity to connect to Hashem. Where every moment is an opportunity towards Dveikus. Because Hashem is not on the periphery, but is at the center. Is that easy? Maybe not. It requires Mesirus Nefesh. But that was exactly what the frogs did. They were Moser Nefesh, cold-blooded animals who go into a tanur are most enemies. And when Hashem is at the center, then it turns everything into a different way. Frogs are a pretty ugly creature. Warts with strange sounds. The stunning medrash. David HaMelech was very, very proud of himself, the Medrash said, when he finished writing Tehillim. He says, look at me. I wrote Tehillim these songs that we praise Hashem with. How many prakim are there in Tehillim? 176 prakim in Tehillim. Masterful poetry. Masterful ways of emotionally connecting to Hashem. The Medrash says the frog came to him. And a frog said to him, you think that's impressive? Every one of my croaks, 3,000 times a day, I am praising Hashem. Every croak that comes out of this ugly creature. And the Hasidish Sfarim say something unbelievable. The word Sfardeya is a combination of two words. Sipor, Deya. A bird with insight, with knowledge. Because what are the features of the bird? The bird is known, number one, for its ability of flight. It can fly. A frog has a little bit of that too, that it goes ahead and takes off. But a tzipor also is a creature that sings, that chirps, that sings praises. And this is the tzfardeya. The tzfardeya bridges this lowly physical creature, which the Medrash says sings praises 3,000 a day to Hashem, and if you will, makes David pale in comparison. A bridge between Shamayim, heaven, and Eretz. Rabbi Akiva told us that this mitzvah went ahead and smashed the Tzfardim, and they divided, and smashed and divided. What's the idea of this very, very strange chazal? So perhaps one can suggest the idea is that on some level, the frog represents the Jewish people. Because there will be times where we get smashed, where we're beaten, whether it's Mitzrayim, whether it's the Nazis, Yibach Shema, whether it's the Spanish Inquisition, the pogroms, we get beaten down. And Chazal tell us, Rabbi Akiva tells us, and we know Rabbi Akiva lived when? And how did he end his life? How was his life ended? By the Romans, Yimach Shema, who take combs and scrape the skin off his body. He gets beaten down. But the koach of Mitzrayim min hametzar, from these narrow, confined places, we emerge much stronger. And we'll be beaten like that frog was. But we'll multiply. And we'll persevere. And we'll go ahead and be the best type of Eved Hashem, where Hashem is at the center, where he's right there singing Hashem's songs, singing his praises, bridging Shamayim Va'aretz. There's no panaceas when you're in the middle of Min HaMetzah. But understand very well that it's the tough times, that if you have the reserves within inside to persevere, to push through the dog days of Chorosmah, the tough days of the end of Tevis, and you take those reserves that you developed in Elul and in Tishrei and in Cheshvan, and then you draw upon them to push through the tough days of Tevis, you're taking that midah of the Tzfar day, you become that Tzipor Deah, despite being a little bit min hametzah, you have the ability to emerge, to be Moser Nefesh, and to achieve tremendous, tremendous things. I want to wish everyone a bracha that we all will hit those times of Mitzarah, those times, unfortunately, of Tsar and of Tsara, of our own internal Mitzrayims. But if we understand that we can certainly overcome, persevere, fight through, but to use my friend of Sacred Lashon, to push it. And we go ahead and push through. And we overcome those Yetzirahs. And we overcome that desire to sleep, that desire to perhaps give in. We put Hashem at the center. Then we can go ahead and achieve anything. We'll go ahead, and despite having those tough times, be able to multiply, be able to persevere, and Bez Hashem, there we go. Thank you.